Janajanasalakaya Chakshus Militanitena Tasmaya Sri Ravenama Sri Chaitanya Manavishtam Sapitam Venabutale Sayam Pukadamayam Dadati Sapandantika. Vanch Kavali Vishakik Sindhubi Vachapatitanam Pavanego Vaisnabe Vyonamanam. Krishna has gone to the forest and he's playing his flute. Sarva Bhuta Manoharam, which captivates the hearts and mind of every living entity, everyone. So we're hearing about how the topmost devotees, the Braja Gopis of Vrindavan, who are completely transcendental to this material world, who are completely fixed in their unflinching and very special love for Krishna. Krishna Akarshini. Prema Bhakti is called Krishna Akarshini. Means that their love, it attracts Krishna. Krishna himself is all attractive, but the love of the Braja Gopis and all the residents of Vrindavan, it is so powerful and is so pure, it attracts Krishna. So although this is on the, practically speaking, the highest level of purity, and it has nothing to do with the material world, and perhaps we are like little babies just beginning to climb the great mountain of Krishna consciousness, still by hearing these words spoken by Sukadev Goswami and the comments by the great acharyas, we can get a glimpse of the vision of someone who loves Krishna in this most incredible way. The most incredible way means that when they see anything, their love for Krishna is so expanded in their consciousness that when they see anything, they don't see anything but Krishna. They don't see anything but love for Krishna, in fact. So when Krishna is playing his flute and entering the Vrindavan forest along with the cowherd boyfriends. The description has been given as Bahar Pidam Natavaravapu Kanayo Kanikaram, how Krishna is playing his flute, he's entering the forest and the cowherd boys Giti Kirti, they're singing his glories. And now the gopis, after being stunned by hearing their flute and not being able to express themselves, they are going to, in 13 verses, they're going to express the heartmost feelings. So this is, again, very, very rare, because when someone, anyone, tells you the deepest things within their heart, how many people will actually do that? But you know, very, very rare that someone has so much love, affection, and trust that they will reveal to you what is the deepest core of their heart. So what relationship do we have with the Braja Gopis that we're going to hear them reveal what is in the heart? But by the great fortune that Prabhupada translated the Bhagavatam and his disciples kept the translation going on to please him. So by that fortune only we're able to hear. And the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the mercy of the disciple succession will be able to hear the hearts of the gopis as they express their minds. So the first of these verses is the seventh text. And through their meditation on hearing the flute, which they're embracing, Abhiram, Bire Bire, Abhire Bire, they're embracing each other, they're embracing the vibration of the flute. And Krishna is manifesting to them, and this is what they're seeing, and this is their mood. So the first of these verses is Sri Gopi Uchu. Akshan vantam phalamidam na param vidama sakya pasun narvashishya to vyasyai vaktram brajesha suteyor anavenu justam yava nipitam anurakta kataksamoksam. So this means akshan vantam phalamidam na param vidama. Vidama means we know. Na param vidama means there's nothing that we know, or practically speaking, that anyone knows. Phalam, there is no fruit of the eyes superior, param vidama, superior to what is being seen right now. And what is that? Sakya pasun anabhishya to vyasyai. Sakya pasun. Krishna, his friends, and the pasu means the animals, anabhishya to vyasyai. They're entering one forest after the next of Vrindavan because of Trinaguru Charan. The cows are grazing on the soft grass here and there, and the boys are going and they're playing. So this is the perfection of the eyes, is to see this scene of Krishna with the cows. There is nothing, akshanvantam napalamidam amparavidam. There is nothing, there is no fruit that the eyes can give that is superior to this. Everything else is completely inferior. What to speak of material things? How inferior are the delights of the eyes of this world? People naturally are attracted to beauty. But if one obtains a glimpse of this beauty that the gopis are describing, then there is no question of appreciating or thinking that any beauty of this world is incredible. So sakya pasun and avishesya to vyasya. So the cows, the animals, the boys, Krishna, they're just grazing and wandering from one forest to the next. Then vaktram brajesha sutayor anavena dusham. So now, it's like in a movie. There's the faraway scene. And you see the entire scene of the cows and the boys. And now it's moving in, by the gopis' words, to a close-up of the actual subject of their amazement. Vaktram brajesha. Vaktram means the face. Brajesha sutayor, the two, sutayor is plural, the two sons of Brajesha of Nanda Maharaj, their faces, anavena dushtam means holding their flutes, meaning of course this is really, ultimately means just Krishna alone. So this is the specific object of the eyesight of the gopis, and the specific fruit of having eyes is to see the glorious vaktram, maduram, maduram, vadaram, maduram, that all sweet, beautiful face of Krishna as he places the flute to his mouth. Yavai, nipitam, and Dikataksamoksham. And from his eyes, he's giving off loving glances from the corners of his eyes. He's glancing at the residents of Vrindavan. But not just glancing, but glancing with great, great, great affection. So this, the gopis are saying, is the perfection of our having eyes. So here is the translation. The cowgirl said, "O friends, those eyes that see the beautiful faces of the sons of Maharaj Nanda are certainly fortunate. As these two sons enter the forest," so where are they when they are saying this? Are they standing close by Krishna and Balaram and the cows and the boys as they're entering the forest? No. They're far away in the town. So therefore, in their lamentation, in their purvarag, in their feelings of separation, where a moment, yugayitam namesheina, where a moment separated from being able to see Krishna seems like hundreds and hundreds of years, their love is so intense. They are feeling themselves so unfortunate. And what is the use of these eyes? That here we are, trapped over here, far away from the most incredible scene. The fruit, the very fruit of their eyes, and we are unable to, what is the use of these eyes? We're unable to see this. Vaktram vrajesya sutayor anavena jushtam. And especially to capture the glance of Krishna, the loving glance of Krishna, shut from the bowstrings of his eyebrows with his eyes, from the corners of his eyes. So as these two sons enter the forest, surrounded by their friends, driving their cows before them, they hold their flutes to their mouths and glance lovingly upon the residents of Vrindavan. For those who have eyes, we think there is no greater object of vision. Here is the purport here. This translation is quoted from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 4.155. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura has commented as follows. The gopis meant to say, "Oh friends, if you simply remain," because they're talking to each other, they're not preaching to us. "If you simply remain in the shackles of family life in this material world, what will you ever get to see? The Creator has granted us these eyes, so let us see the most wonderful thing there is to see. Let us see Krishna." The gopis were aware that their mothers or elder persons might hear their romantic words and disapprove. And thus they said, "Achanvantam phalam." To see Krishna is the goal for all persons and not simply ourselves. In other words, the gopis indicated that Krishna is the supreme object of love for everyone. Why couldn't they also love him in spiritual ecstasy? According to the acharyas, a different gopi spoke this in each of the following verses through text 19. So, there's been some quotation from Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura. We'll read more of what Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura says. But first, we'll read a comment by Srila Srila Swami, short comment, and then a fairly long one by Srila Sanatana Goswami. "I offer my respectful obeisance." Oh, this is Srila Swami's comment. The description is spoken by the 13 verses beginning Akshanvantam. This is the gopi's glorification of the flute. "This much is the fruit of those who have eyes, the most dear sight, and no other sight, no other vision, nothing that the eyes can capture can compare to this." And that fruit is enjoyed by those who have drunk the sight of the faces of Rama and Krishna as they are bringing the animals into the forest in the company of their boyfriends. No one else has experienced this. And what is that face like? Anuvena, present. It is present next to the flute. And it is and that face is vibrating the flute, his mouth, of course. And also giving off affectionate sidelong glances. This is the fruit experienced by those who have drunk the faces of those two. Sanatana Goswami says. So when there is someone beautiful, everyone enjoys looking at the face of someone beautiful. And if there's someone who's not beautiful, if you love that person, you'll see the beauty in that face. So what can we expect the combination to be of the most beautiful person, the unlimitedly beautiful person? Try to conceive of what this means even. Unlimitedly beautiful. We think, Prabhu, could you open the door? We think of someone in this world as beautiful and we like to see their face. But what can that compare to unlimitedly beautiful? Even the beautiful person of this world is beautiful. They have to put on so much makeup. When they take the photograph of the person, they have to cover up all the warts and the holes and the wrinkles and the big skin holes that are coming out and the hairs that shouldn't be there. And they have, people have to put the cream on the face, $400 of cream a week to make it effulgent. There was a big embarrassment when they found out that fellow who's the Prime Minister of England, he uses more cosmetics than all the ladies of England do to make himself appear very beautiful. Not all the ladies together, but but Krishna is unlimitedly beautiful and he never ever grows old. And the gopis who have unlimited love for Krishna are looking at his unlimited beauty. And the effect of that is that they become stunned. And the blinking of their eyes is intolerable for them. Who can imagine this? But we're getting a glimpse of what love is. And the love that they're experiencing is so powerful that when Krishna is in the forest, the fact that they can't see him throws them into such a feeling of separation or missing Krishna that Krishna manifests in what is called the uppercut lila. So in not being with him, they are with him. They cannot be, because, again, Krishna is controlled by their love. It is so powerful, he cannot move a step out of Vrindavan. He is captured. They have captured him. He has captured them. So, Srila Sanatana Goswami says, I offer my obeisances unto those gopis who have been able to conquer the Supreme Lord whose mentality is most grave. What does grave mean? Serious, unable to understand the depths of what he is thinking, cannot know his mind. And this grave Supreme Lord, who is all grave, he has been conquered by the love of the Praja Gopis. So this is what we should get from this. We should be amazed and awed by how incredible is the beauty of Krishna, and how incredible, inconceivably incredible, is the love of the Praja Gopis and all the residents of Vrindavan. we say, or not the devotees so much, I love my house, I love my car, I love my dog, I love my tea, I love my this, I love my that, I love my country. But we don't even know what love is. This is love. They're defining what love is. It is so powerful that it conquers Krishna. The indication, idam, at the beginning of the verse, is given because of the extreme confidentiality of what they are expressing, which is the supreme fruit. It is the most confidential thing. It is the supreme fruit of the eyes. And since it would be unfitting to suddenly reveal it at the very beginning, they say, idam, this is the fruit of the eyes. Or else the hearts being attacked because of the helplessness of the rising of the burden of their loving sentiments for their object, they immediately express it. The supreme, the most amazing sight within Sri Vrindavan or elsewhere, we do not know any other sight, any other fruit of their eyes that compares with this. In other words, others may know of such, so let them know. The sarcastic content of their remark is as follows. Therefore, we have not achieved any success of our eyes, because at this time we are not able to see him. So they're saying, this is the most wonderful thing, the most wonderful thing. The only true fruit of their eyes is to see Krishna, and here we are unable to see him. How unfortunate we are. Although they're actually seeing him in the depths of their heart due to the power of their love for Krishna. Krishna is manifesting there. They're thinking themselves so unfortunate. It is the wanting to be with Krishna that gives the separation its power. No Braja Bhakta will think that the goal is separation. Because then if you think I've succeeded in being separate from Krishna, there is no feeling of separation. The goal has to be with Krishna. And that move. And therefore separation will occur. Although drinking the faces of Krishna and Balaram anywhere at any time, in any matter, is the fruit of their eyes, of the eyes, and although within Vrindavan they adequately achieved this fruit of this vision, still when he went to play in the forest, they spoke like this out of excessive eagerness to see him. This indeed is the natural specific characteristic of ecstatic love felt, which comprises the distress of dissatisfaction. So Sanatana Goswami says, this is the characteristic of the ecstasy which appears to be distress and dissatisfaction. But it's ecstatic. It has nothing to do with the material world. This is happiness of the spiritual world, which is different varieties of ecstasies. The idea of the words, O friend, is that you all know about this very well. They were standing, Krishna and Balaram, Anu, behind. Or else, of the two of them, who were prominently entering from one forest to another with sweet sounds of calling out to one another and so forth. Although since it is simply the flute playing and so forth of Sri Krishna alone which is being described, thus herein it is not proper that his elder brother be included in the description, but out of their natural embarrassment and shyness to cover their special private feelings towards Sri Krishna, the gopis are mentioning the two together. So this is a point of the psychology of the Braja gopis. They're saying, oh, look how beautiful both of them are. But they're covering up what they really want to say because their eyes and their hearts are simply focused on Sri Krishna. This drinking and rendering of service, doshanam, is the fruit of the of those who possess senses. This is what the gopis are saying. In other words, it is the perfection of all the senses, and we do not know any other such fruit, because by drinking the face, the function of sight becomes all successful. And because direct sight constitutes the highest fruit, thus it is the achievement of the perfect success of all the activities of all the senses. Anyway, there's more comments, and then we'll just read one little comment right at the end. Sanatana Goswami concludes by saying, upon simply remembering that face, their throats are choked up with tears, and thus they are unable to speak clearly. This is the nature of the sobriety of the speech expressed in ecstatic love of the gopis, whose lotus feet are worshipable by all clever persons, by all intelligent persons. The comment of Sanatana Goswami. And then the comment of Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura. Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura says, my only goal in life is the Braja Gopis, who, being attracted by the nectar shower from Krishna's flute, ran out of their houses, and whose sweet words repeated here enable us to relish that nectar too. The gopis meant to say, and this is, it's been in the Bhaktivedanta purports, this has already been said, O friends, if you simply remain in the shackles of family life in this material world, he's not preaching to us. This is what the gopis are saying. What will you ever get to see? The Creator has granted us these eyes, so let us see the most wonderful thing there is to see. Let us see Krishna. The gopis were aware that their mothers-in-laws or sisters-in-laws might hear their romantic words and disapprove. So to hide their true feelings, they said, Akshanvantam phalam idam na param vidama. To see Krishna is the goal for all persons, not simply ourselves. All persons. Who does that include? All persons. That is the superficial meaning. But the hidden implication is, those faces give bliss to everyone in Vrindavan forest, even the birds and beasts, but not to us, because we are staying in our houses far, far away. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.5.27, Vasudev said, O Nanda, my son, Mamasuta, Balaram thinks of you as if you are his father. Tatam bhavantam manvano. Also Sukhit, because it says the two sons of Nanda Maharaj. So Balaram, even though he's known as the son of Vasudev, Vasudev is saying, Balaram thinks of you as his father, so therefore it's proper to say the two sons of Nanda Maharaj. Also Sukadev said, Balaram offered respects to his parents Nanda and Yasoda, and they blessed him. Bhagavatam 10.65.2. By such statements, therefore, Balaram was commonly known as Nanda's son. Therefore, in this verse, the gopis describe Balaram, the son of Nanda Maharaj, Vajesha Sutayor. However, there's a hidden meaning in the phrase, Vaktram, the face of Vajesha Sutayor. The word Vaktram, face, can mean that face amongst the two of them, which was turning back, playing the flute. The word Va, with nipitam, to drink with intensity, also indicates seeing, touch, hearing, smelling, or tasting that face. In other words, the gopis are saying, those who give up all shyness and steadiness to drink the nectar of that face, playing the flute among the two sons herding cows in the forest along with their friends, Those persons have fortunate senses and not others. Therefore, we intend to say, today, let us abandon all family traditions, shyness, and self-control. Another gopi said, yes, let us see, touch, hear, and smell Krishna. But how is it possible, since we are so shy? One gopi replied, that face releases sidelong glances, kataksha, moksham, upon anyone who becomes lovingly attracted, anurakta, to him. Krishna will search you out and release the arrows of his enchanting glances. When it strikes, you will become agitated with love, you will forget all your shyness and abandon your self-control. Then you will look without shyness on that face. Because they couldn't even look directly at Krishna when he was there because of the natural shyness, their natural shyness. And also they were fearful that others would see them looking at Krishna because they were married young girls. And this is their nature, that shyness. So this can appear to be something either such love is not possible or something material. But this is something directly out of the spiritual world that's being described for our benefit. Now the eighth text. Another gopi is going to speak, continuing the description, more of what the gopis saw. Chutta-bhava-labha-stabha-gavalo-pabalabja malanupreta paridhana vichitra vesho madyevade jatoralam pasupala goshtam rangeyata natavaro kvatsagayamano. Dressed, Chitta-prabhala-bhara-stabaka-upalabja describes the decorations that Krishna was wearing, the pravala, the sprouts of pravala chitta, the sprouts of the mango tree. Bara means a peacock feather, and stabaka, bunches of flowers, upalabja, lotus flowers and lilies. So Krishna was completely decorated in a beautiful way by the forest flowers, bunches of twigs, in a very artistic and wonderful way. Mala anuprekta paridana vichitra vesho. So garlands were touching their garments, and their garments with great varieties. What is the great varieties referred to of all these different things? And then, so Krishna is dressed in this fantastic way with colorful garments, like that was already described, that he's called Natavara, the foremost of dancers, and he has all these forest decorations upon him. And Madhyevarejatoralam Pashupala Goshtam, in the midst, this wonderful Krishna, which in the midst of all the cowherd boys, Pashupala, the protectors of the animals, Goshtam, right in their midst, in their assembly. And then Rangeyata Natabaro Kvatshagayamano. And in that group, dressed in that way, he would dance and he would sing Kvatshagayamano. He would sometimes sing. This is love. This is the most beautiful sight. This is the perfection of the eyes. To see these wonderful sights, Krishna enacting, the Supreme Lord, who is God, the Param Ishwara. But this is Him, that Supreme Controller, the old man sitting on the throne with a long beard that everyone understands is God. Well, not everyone. this is the Param Brahma, the ultimate of greatnesses. This is what he's doing for his own pleasure. This is what when he's in his own inner chambers, surrounded by the most confidential, trusted, loving devotees, this is what he does. He manifests his full personality, his full beauty, doing just what he likes to do. And he's dancing and singing and dressing himself, playing his flute, dressed in a wonderful way, in the midst of those he loves most and who love him. Here's the translation. Dressed in a charming variety of garments. So the garments were what that was, paridana vichitravesho. Tuts in those garments, different colors, all different colors and jewels, pearl necklace, all vanamala, garlands of forest flowers, twigs of mangoes, sprouts, this, that, colors, faces decorated by the cowherd boys. This has been previously described in the colorful minerals of Vrindavan. Peacock feather decorating his head, and all this resting on his garments. So what a beautiful scene. And decorating themselves with peacock feathers, lotuses, lilies, newly grown mango sprouts, and clusters of flower buds. This is much better than the plastic people use to decorate themselves with nowadays, just pieces of colored plastic and thinking that's wonderful. Krishna and Balaram shine forth and they're unlimitedly effulgent too. When Krishna would steal butter when he was a young boy, he could see the butter in a darkened room just by his jewels and his effulgence. And if the jewels were taken away, the whole room would be lit by his effulgence. So there was Krishna in the forest, shining forth magnificently amongst the assembly of cowherd boys. They looked, this is what the gopis are saying, they looked just like the best of dancers appearing on a dramatic stage. And sometimes they sing. They're wearing wonderful clothes just to attract the minds of the Braja gopis. They're dressing in this wonderful way just to increase their ecstasy. Here's the purport. The gopis continue singing their ecstatic song as they remember the pastimes of Lord Krishna. The gopis wanted to go to the forest where Krishna was performing his pastimes, and while remaining concealed, peer through the leaves of the creepers and see the wonder of Krishna and Balaram dancing and singing with their boyfriends. This was their desire, but because they could not go, they sang this song in ecstatic love of separation. This was the only longing of their heart, to have this vision. What, pray tell, is the longings of our hearts? But this is what Krishna consciousness means. Prakattam riddhi sadhyata nitya sadasya bhavasya prakattam riddhi sadhyata, to replace all, to clean out all the garbage of all the longings of all the things on the material level that crowds our heart. And in the pure heart, the heart is purified, nitya sadasya bhavasya shuddha chitti. When the heart is purified, when the consciousness is purified by the processes of remembering Krishna and chanting his holy names and serving Krishna, the process of sadhana bhakti, karibe udoye, then this is what arises in the heart if we are very, very, very fortunate. So the one process is to clean, get rid of all the garbage. And just like if you have a house and you want to clean and get rid of the garbage, you have a big idea to throw everything away, but then, I'll keep this, and I'll keep this, and I keep this. Why? Because we're attached. We're attached and we don't clean the whole thing. The whole thing needs cleaning. Everything of the material world, every self-centered desire needs cleaning, thrown away. Sravanadi sudha chitte korive udoy. And then this is what will arise, that which is this eternal existing love that is situated within the heart of the residents of Vrindavan, explains Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī. That will manifest in our hearts. But not until it's clean. So, because they're missing Krishna, this is the only thing that they're desiring. Their hearts are breaking because for a moment they cannot see Krishna. I'll read the comment of Srila Chidaswami to the 8th text. Other gopis speak the verse beginning Chuta Prabhala Marhas Tabagupadabja. The two of them, whose variegated dress, respective blue and yellow garments, are gently touched in various spots by different kinds of garlands and mango shoots and so forth. Kratra means sometimes. In the assembly of the cowherd boys, they shone forth. Thus the gopis thought, just see the piety of the cowherd boys. How fortunate they are. How unfortunate we are. The gopis are the most fortunate. And we're thinking, and they're thinking they're the most unfortunate because they cannot be with Krishna. And for us, we can be with Krishna, without Krishna continuously, and still think we're so fortunate. And therefore we have to stay here in the material world. Srila Sanatana Goswami says, short comment, just like two excellent dancers shine forth upon the stage. By this example is hinted the dancing of the two of them, and also their independence and their dedication to pleasure. The cowherd boys, they think, are indeed fortunate, but we are very much unfortunate. Krishna is he's the one who can get pleasure. He is the reservoir of pleasure. Everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure. He is the supreme enjoy. He's Lila Purushottam. And we are meant to assist him for his pleasure. And by doing that, we gain pleasure. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, one gopi said, but how will we deal with this disgrace? We should not go. A second gopi replied, no, we should go anyway. The first gopi said, because Krishna is with Baladev, our motive in going will not be fulfilled. The second gopi replied, therefore, while remaining concealed, we can peer through the leaves of the creepers and taste the nectar of Krishna's beauty, hear his singing, and see his dancing. Then we can quickly return home. That is the intention of this verse. They're just sitting there, hearing the flute, and just thinking all these things and seeing Krishna in the core of their hearts. Decorating themselves with tender mango leaf sprouts, Chuta Prabhala, peacock feathers, baha, and bunches of flowers, stavaka, in their hair. Flowers in their hair, peacock feathers, mango, all, and lotus buds over their ears, a play lotus in the right hand, a garland around the neck, wearing sewn garments colored red, yellow, and black, like those of an actor. Krishna and Balaram looked like the best of dancers arrayed in colorful dress. Krishna and Balaram danced along with the boys and sometimes sang Gayamano. Gayamano can also mean that Krishna and Balaram were satisfied with the singing of others who were praising them. Or it can mean that Krishna and Balaram were proud of their own singing, saying, no one in the three worlds can sing like us. Who are you, insignificant cowherd boys? So in this way, this has been described in the earlier chapters, the playing of the cowherd boys together, the bravado. So in this way, all the rasa is being created
over there.
Now the ninth text, this is the final one we'll read today. Gopya kim acharalayam kushalam smaveno damadaradhara sudam apikopikanam bhunkte sayam yalavashishtrasam radinyo vishatvacho asrumamuchustaravo yataya. My dear gopis, what auspicious activities must the flute have performed to enjoy the nectar of Krishna's lips independently and leave only a taste for us gopis for whom the nectar is actually meant? So now the close-up comes in even closer, and they're talking and thinking and seeing just the flute, and the coward boys are so fortunate, and the flute is still more fortunate. The forefathers of the flute, the bamboo trees, shed tears of pleasure. His mother, the rivers on whose banks the bamboo was born, feel jubilation, and therefore her blooming lotus flowers are standing like hair on her body. So the gopis are seeing everything, every single thing that they're seeing. It's seeing through this vision of love for Krishna, of how everything, everyone is fortunate. Everything, everyone has love for Krishna. Only we are unfortunate because we cannot go to Krishna. Everyone, everything loves Krishna. They're seeing Krishna in everything, everything in Krishna. Therefore, again, they're the topmost of Bhakti Prasanna. Here's the short purport here. This translation is quoted from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita Antilila 16:140, chapter 16:140. In the guise of releasing flowing sap, the bamboo trees are actually crying tears of ecstasy upon seeing their child become an exalted devotee flute of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So this is what the gopis are saying. The bamboo is so happy, it's crying, the sap that's running from its shoots, because they're so happy, because they're descendant, their fellow bamboo. Just like if someone from your village or your hometown becomes the president or the prime minister or some famous person, you feel very proud and very happy because there is an investment of the self. So similarly, the gopis are seeing that the bamboo is feeling like that, seeing the fortunate position of the flute, because damada adram, it is tasting the nectar of the two lips of Krishna. But Sanatana Goswami gives an alternative explanation. The trees are crying because they are unhappy at not being able to play with Krishna themselves. Even the trees are crying. We're laughing and happy, and we don't care at all now with Krishna. So how hard are our hearts, and how distant are we? How covered is our consciousness that we don't care? We're not with Krishna. We're not getting the fruit of our eyes. We're not getting the fruit of our life. And we don't even care. One may object that the trees in Vrindavan should not lament for that which is impossible for them to obtain, because they're trees only. Just as a beggar certainly doesn't lament because he's forbidden to meet the king. But the trees are actually just like intelligent persons who suffer when they cannot obtain their goal in life. Thus the trees are crying because they cannot get the nectar of Krishna's lips. Then we'll read Srila Jiva Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. Srila Jiva Goswami says, That remnant left by the flute is the rasa in the form of its sound vibration, which the rivers who purify the worlds partake of it by bathing in it and drinking it. And, by seeing this, the trees as well exhibit their hair standing on end, jubilation upon their bodies in the guise of sprouting forth of new buds and so forth. And they also give off tears in the guise of their sap. Therefore, since all of society but us is relishing the nectar of Krishna's lips, then why is only this flute at fault? So, my dear gopis, let us take this flute and hide it somewhere in a secret place. And Srila Sanatana Goswami, everything, whatever they're thinking, whatever they're doing, it's just a product of their innermost sentiment of love for Krishna. Sanatana Goswami says, this verse is spoken by the gopis with the idea that what to speak of the great fortune of the gopis who are his intimate associates, because the previous verse was describing how fortunate the gopis were. Even the, of course, they're with Krishna, even the flute is greatly fortunate. The flute is just a piece of bamboo. It doesn't matter. By the word Damodar is indicated how the Lord came under the control of the special loving sentiment of the queen of their company, since the name Damodar is always spoken in dual form as Radha Damodar. Therefore, this nectar is meant to be enjoyed by the gopis. Because the word in this verse is Damodaradharam Sudam Api Gopikanam. So by calling him Damodar, we immediately think of Radha Damodar. And if we think of Radha Damodar, even though the Sanatana Goswami isn't mentioning it too many times, but he's saying that therefore that means that the nectar of Krishna's lips is actually meant, who it's actually meant for. The rivers who purify the whole world by being bathed in and drunk, and thus Sri Jamuna and so forth, and enjoying the nectar of Krishna's lips. That is to say, now how do the rivers enjoy the nectar of Krishna's lips? That is to say, the rivers drink the nectar of his lips when at the time of his sporting in the water, the cosmetic powder is washed away from his lips. This fact is established by the statement of Sahitya Darpana, a Shastra. Therefore, how can we describe the great extent of the piety of the flute by tasting merely that which has been left behind as the flute's remnants? These rivers and trees have become so joyful. So the flute is so fortunate. Any questions or comments? Get rid of them. First of all, you recognize that they're there when they're combined with the gold of our consciousness. Even though they make the consciousness impure, we don't see them. So when they rise to the surface and that happens, we become conscious of them. So that's the first thing. So when first you become conscious of it, and then what's the second thing? You have to decide that it's an impurity and you don't want it. So that's consciously, I don't want this. Then the third thing is you stop doing it. And the fourth thing is when you're not able to stop doing it, you pray to Krishna to help you and pray to all the devotees to forgive you. And when our lamentation becomes very strong,
very, very, very strong. I'm so unfortunate. These impurities are sitting in my heart, and I want something very wonderful. But look, but just these very desires that I'm holding so dear to my heart are the bars that are keeping me from them. It's not everyone. It's not anyone else's fault. It's not everyone else's fault. It's just me and my attachments. And lamenting, as in Prakten and Rotama Das always says, "Dik Dik, Narotama Das." You know, he's fee on me. I curse myself like that. I'm so unfortunate. I'm such a rascal. And that's the humility that causes sincere prayer to take birth in the heart and begging Krishna. To remove it or bring us closer to us, to Him by force. But the most important thing to remove the impurities, just like if this room, not this one over here, but you go into some person's house and the room is very, very dark and you don't notice all the dirt. So then suddenly you turn on the light and the first thing you notice, oh, this place is so filthy. So that's the process of being aware, becoming aware of all the impurities in the heart. So before we become devotees, we don't even know what an impurity is, what to think of. We have impurities, but then when you become a devotee, if you're fortunate, you realize, oh, this house is really dirty. So then, to clean it, the most important thing, if you have to say what the most important thing is to continue. It's just to keep it up. Keep it up. Day after day after day after day, the chanting, the hearing, the serving, day after day after day after day. If you get discouraged because look how dirty it is, or this isn't any fun cleaning, I think I better take some wheelbarrows of mud and put it in here because it's not fun cleaning. I should put more mud in here. At least it'll be fun. Then it never gets clean. Or I should take a break from the cleaning for some time and go and do something else for a while. So the most important thing is to continue in the process, no matter what, and not get discouraged. And for determination, we should remember the example of, what does Prabhupada say in the Bhagavad Gita? The sparrow. Now tell us about the sparrow, Tekitana Mataji.
She doesn't give up. She just keeps on and on and on.
And then what happens?
And the ocean brings back those.
But what happens in between?
Because
she can't. No, she gains the sympathy of someone who helps her.
Ah, Garuda.
Yes, yes. You knew all along. You were just testing me. Yes, by her determination and sincerity, she gained the sympathy of Garuda. And then when Garuda decided to help, what is the difficulty? So if we can get Garuda to help us.
So she couldn't really do more than a certain amount. She had a certain capacity.
She's a little sparrow, and the ocean is so big.
But
yeah.
It was too hard for her to do it.
It was impossible for her to actually succeed. But yet,
she kept doing the little bit that she could do
in a very determined, steady way. She did what she could do. You can't do what you can't do, but she could. She did what she could do, and then she.
She got help with the rest.
She got help. And the help is the part that got it done. But it's like.
She attracted the help by.
Yes, exactly. It's like if there's a weight on the ground and the little boy says, I'm going to pick it up. So, and the father sees the determination of the little boy and he says, okay, let's do it. And the father really does the picking it up.
So if the little boy goes over...
But if the little boy doesn't try to do it, then the father doesn't have the impetus to do the lifting. If he doesn't care, why should I?
Seeing the determination of Dhruva, Narasimha became so compassionate for him, so he invoked that simply from him by being determined. Whether it was his capacity at that time or not, doesn't matter, but his determination itself brought Narasimha's compassion to him. So it's the determination.
Yeah, and you can. And another way to, because determination, we might not even be very determined, but sincerity. Sincerity means you keep up the attempt. It's determination, but
determination is a nice word. But I mean, it might be nice for men, you know, like determination. But you know. Sometimes feel like just crawling along like a snail, you know.
Snails must be very determined. They have to carry their whole house with them. Who is more determined than the snail? The emblem of determination, the snail.
Yeah, for me.
There's the story of the hare and the tortoise.
Yes.
And he won. You know, the tortoise won.
It wasn't the Hare Krishna. That's why. But another thing is, one has to keep in the association of devotees, otherwise, one loses one's determination of others who are striving. If we don't do that, then we'll become determined to go to sleep or something, or determined to do so many other things which are counterproductive.
It seems in some ways hearing about the sadness that the gopis are feeling for Krishna is easier than hearing about when they're with Krishna, because we're also not with Krishna. Like, we're not with him. So we can... Or at least I was thinking some of the things that were said, you can relate to them, like they're feeling despondent or...
But there'll be other things that can be said. There could be other things that could be said mm-hmm. when the gopis are with Krishna too.
They are always with Krishna.
Yes, that's the other side.
But this is still there, aren't there?
This is Purvarag.
This is not...
Varaha.
This is a special...
Therefore, it's easier in one sense for the conditioned soul to hear this than some of the other more intimate things. But there are also things that can be said about that too. But yes, as Bankipo said, they're always with Krishna, they're with him in separation, he cannot keep away from them. Cannot keep away because their love is just so complete. And therefore, the acharyas, first they offer their respects to the love of the gopis. You could say admiration. They're placing it on the as the ideal. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, the song of the gopis, appreciating the sound of Krishna's flute ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai.